We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Take a couple more calls on the Kenny Pickett fall from grace. It all just hit me today, albeit a couple of months late, that here's a guy whose reputation, whose regard among Pittsburgh sports fans has changed as radically as any athlete that I've ever seen in this town. I mean, it's amazing. Listen, I'm sure there's a ton of Pitt fans still who root for him. I just haven't heard from any. Your thoughts now on Pickett? He goes into a game for the Eagles, replaces Jalen Hurts. Are you instinctually rooting for him or not? Let's go to a couple calls here, Limits, before we get to the Bechtold breakdown, and then Rowdy Tellez going to join us this hour. Go ahead.
Here's Lee in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, no, it's not our fault. King did this to himself. First, being a bad teammate. When, you know, Mason Rudolph was having success. Also, not handling the media the right way, creating a storm when they asked him, hey, did you learn anything from this? No, I didn't learn anything from this. And it's play. I mean, if I'm Matt Canada, I'm looking like, well, damn, the guy Mason Rudolph in my system put up 30 points every time he was in there. So, and, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, when this thing was going on, there was a lot of media guys that was trying to fight against the notion that he was this type of guy when all he was showing he was this type of guy. You know, he didn't want to dress for the Seattle game. And then there was people trying to make it up like, no, he didn't want to dress. He didn't want to look like a third string quarterback. It was what it was. And people were trying to cover up for that. So, no, he did it to himself. Like, this is when the whole offseason, Omar Khan kept saying, oh, no, it's going to be a quarterback competition. He never said we're trying to release Kenny or get rid of Kenny. When Russell came in, his camp was like, we went out of here. So, like, if we're all going to be on the notion, no hostages, we want volunteers, no hostages, that's the prime example of that. He didn't like what he wanted. So, of course, that's why the fan base feel the way they feel. As soon as he got traded, he put an Instagram post of him with an Eagle jersey on. So, I mean, that's where he's from anyway. So, like, you know, there's a little rivalry there anyway, you know. So,
well, in the end, you're right. I mean, he did it to himself. But I would say this, though. He just wasn't good enough, you know. And all that other stuff is ancillary to me. In the end, Mike Tomlin and the people who run the Steelers just deemed that he wasn't good enough. That's the bottom line. The season was on the line, and he wasn't playing, even though he was capable of it. He was no longer the guy. And when you talk about the premium positions in pro sports, you're either the guy or you're not, and we all know that by how the coaching staff utilizes you. And how we all feel going into a game like you know, Ben could have limped into the Seattle game. If he was cleared on Sunday morning, he plays. Why? Because he's the guy. You know what I mean? We all know whether you are or whether you aren't. And there were two who fell from grace this year. And their names were Kenny Pickett and Tristan Jarry. And when their seasons were on the line, they didn't play. Therefore, they weren't the guy. Period. End of story. Nice story about Seattle, nice story about whatever else with Pickett, but the bottom line is he wasn't good. He was deemed not good enough, period. One more call, then we'll get to Bechtold's breakdown.
Fanny in Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Not Fanny. Let's go to Nick in Sacramento.
Hey, Nick, what's up?
Hey, so I bought a Kenny Pickett jersey and a Pickens jersey at the same time, you know, and I got all excited about that when he came to the Steelers. Yeah, hail to Pitt, but I went to Penn State. I was glad to see a Pittsburgh, you know, player coming over for the Steelers. I was really excited, but that's the last time I'll probably ever buy a Steeler jersey because I feel like he jinxed me. You know, those white gloves made me nervous every time he wore them out there in the field. I wish him luck, but I'm really looking forward to it. Maybe Jalen Hurts can roll an ankle when we play. I think we play the Eagles this year, right, if I'm not correct, fellas?
Yeah.
I would love to see T.J. Watt come around the edge and just light him up. I mean, not to hurt him, but just I would love to see him play the Steelers. That would be very, very interesting at that time of the year. And, you know, finally, Joe, I got to apologize to you. 3 weeks ago, I called up. I was a little frustrated about the whole Pirate thing and people ripping on the certain players, but I hope you aren't mad at me if you remember me talking to me that day. But I really appreciate the show and I appreciate the time. And hey, I'm glad to see the Pirates, which I'm trying to wake up to a breaking news report here 3 hours behind you guys in California every day, being a Pittsburgh native, waiting for that trade to happen.
Man, and it would be the best if it was Vlad Guerrero, wouldn't it? But yeah, you just spoke about it. It was going to be Pickens to Pickett forever, and then it wasn't. Let's get to Bechtold's breakdown before we get to Rowdy Tellez joining the show. Limits? It's your show now. Let's do it.
Ah, yes, Joe. Here we go. The Bechtel breakdown for Friday, June 28th, 2024. Let's start off with a Christmas movie, Joe. How about this? Hallmark and the Kansas City Chiefs are teaming up for a holiday movie. It will be filmed in KC and at Arrowhead Stadium. It will be called, brace yourself for this, Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
Hopefully none of the off-the-field stories with the Chiefs will be included in a love story.
I hope not. Hallmark was founded in Kansas City in 1910, and production will start next month. Will you watch this? My dad is a frequent Hallmark movie watcher.
So is my wife. I mean, they're feel-good stories, right? Nobody's ever unhappy.
No, there's never a bad ending.
No, all the houses have immaculate Christmas decorations in them, and everybody in the family is always nice to each other. So I guess it's like a utopian thing, you know, because none of our families are like that. Maybe that's why we like them. Yeah, I probably will watch this in the end.
I think I'll watch it as well, because the Hallmark movies are seemingly always on in my house during this time of year. But I wonder if this is solely only based off of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And now they can't say, like, football player and pop star, and it would be too evident. But I feel like this is the vibe that they're giving off, and this is the reason why it was created.
I want to see a Hallmark Christmas movie where everybody wakes up on Christmas morning and they're happy for an hour, and then they're at each other's throats by noon, like they are in my house.
That's called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Exactly, yes. I want to see a realistic, or maybe I don't. Maybe I don't want to see a realistic Hallmark Christmas movie, because that's the attraction.
No, I want one of them.
Yeah. Maybe one? Yeah.
Yeah, they're throwing snowballs at each other.
Right.
I mean,
husband and wife yelling at each other over some mundane thing. Yeah, I want to see one of those,
The
too.
Turkey catches on fire.
Right. Yeah. Why doesn't that ever happen?
There's a squirrel in the tree. I think I'm just reciting Christmas Vacation.
Next.
All right, here we go again. We'll talk about Kyle Filipowski. He fell in the draft from Duke. He was like a top 10 recruit coming out of high school. Really good player. 7-footer.
Yeah.
Was taken 32nd by the Utah Jazz. Fell significantly in the draft. So Filipowski's mother and brother were posting back and forth basically at each other and people that would answer on Twitter during the draft process this week about how Filipowski's girlfriend groomed him into Mormon culture and cut him off from his family. And supposedly he hasn't talked to his family in 2 years. He's 20 years old. He's
How old was he? How old was he when she first dated him?
I'm glad you asked. They started dating when he was in high school.
Was he 18? You don't know.
That I don't know.
She was his babysitter?
She was his babysitter.
Okay. It's a weird story. I'll acknowledge that. I don't know what to say beyond that, other than it's not as weird as Bill Belichick at 72 dating a 23-year-old. And I will reiterate or ask again, can we change your mind about possibly asking the narrator from Titanic out on a date, Limits?
So, somebody brought up Meryl Streep.
How old is she?
I don't know. She's in her 70s, right?
You should absolutely go on a date with Jane Fonda.
What about Jennifer Aniston?
I mean, she's in her 50s, right?
Right.
How old are you?
23.
It would be odd. It would be odd, but not as odd as dating Rose from Titanic.
Very fair. Rose from Titanic would be a sinking ship for me.
That's pretty good.
I think it'd be a sinking
That's
ship.
That's pretty good limits.
All right, let's move on to the biggest case of nepotism in the NBA in the last, 3 days.
Yeah.
Bronny James was selected 55th overall in the NBA draft by the Lakers. And Rich Paul, according to Bob Myers, former executive for the Warriors, who was a part of ESPN's draft coverage, said that Rich Paul, and he was hesitant to report this, Rich Paul was telling other teams, do not pick Bronny James or he will go and play in Australia. It's ridiculous just to get Bronny James to the Lakers to play with LeBron. And LeBron is all, oh, it's not that big of a deal if I don't play with Bronny. It's okay. I've put that in the back of my mind. Complete and utter nonsense.
First of all, how about Ray Fittipaldo in an Australian soccer shirt today on the show?
Very relevant.
That was very relevant. That was incredible, wasn't it? Some member of his family, his in-laws or something?
Brother-in-law, yeah.
Is from Australia. I'd love to be at a Fittipaldo family reunion. It sounds very interesting, does it not?
And he always has nice paintings in the background when he does these Zoom calls with us. Somebody else in his family either bought it or painted it for him.
Maybe a painter in the family, an artist, so to speak. I just heard Jim Rome on our air here during a commercial break calling him LaDaddy and Bronny and LaDaddy. I don't know, man. This feels embarrassing. It feels like LeBron is running the team. It feels like if I was a teammate, even though he's a living legend, I'd be like, what is happening? Our coach does a podcast with you, and the last team he coached was in fourth grade, and our newest draft pick wouldn't have been picked unless you were his daddy. This is weird. If you're Bronny, you show up to work every day, assuming you'll probably be in the G League for a while, but once you're on the Lakers and everybody there thinks that you're only there because your dad is the star player. This is pro sports. It's something doesn't feel right. And I don't know that it is right for Bronny. Wouldn't you, if you're him, as cool as it would be to share a court with your dad, wouldn't it be just as cool if you were an opponent and worked your own way into the league and branched out individually? I don't know, man.
It might be for selfish reasons, but the best thing for Bronny to do would have been to transfer to Duquesne and learn from
Drew
Joyce.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, that's what I wanted.
And a chance for him to be on his own and figure things out, not just on the basketball court, but also his situation and where he wants to be separate from the James family and create his own identity. So
in the end, this feels like a disservice to Bronny because no matter what he achieves, it's going to be viewed as nepotism.
Yes.
Especially if he becomes a bit player with the Lakers who plays in a couple of games for 5 minutes just so LeBron can say, I played with my kid.
So now
it feels like a disservice to the kid.
Dwayne Wade will be the new assistant coach of the Lakers, and Savannah is going to pack Bronny a lunch before he goes to practice every day. Just like he's going to work with Dad.
Yeah, exactly. And
all in the family. And then they'll probably draft the other LeBron son in a couple of years, Bryce James.
I wanted him to go to Duquesne. Didn't you?
I did. And I had talked to people that thought it was very possible. It was very possible Duquesne was going to land him. Like, there were a lot of Duquesne people that were very optimistic.
At this rate, if J.J. Redick gets fired, they're going to have Keith Dambrot as their next coach. I mean, it's just everything LeBron at this point. He might as well just be the coach. Bill Russell coached the Lakers to the Celtics to a championship. He was a player coach.
Player coach.
If there's a league that would be very realistic in, it's the NBA, I think.
When was the last time there was a player coach, though? The 60s?
He's it anyway.
Yeah, he is. He's the GM.
And every single move that Redick makes, if you're a teammate, you're gonna be like, all right, so I guess LeBron wanted that to happen. You know, it's just, I don't know, man.
So do you think Blake Hinson or Bronny James will have a better career in the NBA?
Oh, man. We'll either have a career in the NBA would be my question. But probably Blake because and Bronny may develop. Bronny's a hell of an athlete.
He is a good athlete.
There's no questioning that. But Blake Hinson, if you can shoot, there's a spot for you on some team somewhere. Thank you for Bechtold's breakdown. We have
Thank
to go.
Thank you very much.
That
we have
was
to get
really
to Rowdy.
Good. Yeah, Rowdy Tellez next. Whenever he calls, it should be sometime within the next 10 minutes or so. And this should be a very fun and interesting interview.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Waiting for a call here from Rowdy Tellez. Going to talk to him shortly. Pirates in Atlanta. Meantime, a guy who goes by the name of @SweatyFreddy says, I'm so glad I can turn on the fan on June 28th, 2024 and still hear Starkey beating the Kenny Pickett dead horse. Really compelling Pittsburgh sports radio. Thank you, Sweaty Freddy. I appreciate that. You should see the ratings. I'll show you compelling Pittsburgh radio. That's one. Two, I haven't mentioned Kenny Pickett's name in about 3 months. Three, I learned a long time ago that it's never a bad idea to talk Steeler quarterbacks. And four, it's pertinent because his quarterback coach piped up the other day. And because, as I mentioned, the weight, the magnitude of the Pickett fall from grace sort of hit me like a ton of bricks this morning, perhaps enhanced by the Tanzanian coffee beans rolling through me. So all of that. But I will thank him, City Limits, for his time. He took the time to tweet me, or X me, whatever the hell it's called. That could be Rowdy Tellez right now. Steven Stamkos is going to hit the open market. He'd be interesting. I don't know what it would take to get him. I gotta read a little bit more about that. But can you imagine that option on your power play? One of the all-time one-timers on the half boards there or anywhere else you want him would be incredible. We'll get back to that. NHL free agency. First, we have Pirates first baseman Rowdy Tellez on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Rowdy, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. I'm riding solo today, so it's just me. You're having a hell of a month. 362, OPS well over 900. Was there one key to the turnaround, Rowdy? Something that happened, or was it just kind of working your way through it and you figure it's going to get better eventually?
You could say there's a lot of things. I think, but ultimately it was just kind of thinking like, hey, I need to do what I need to do. I tried a couple of different things and they weren't really working. And it was like, let's go back to what got me to the big leagues when I was young. Let's go back to doing all that kind of stuff. And, it kind of brought that confidence even higher and, allowed me to start having some good at-bats and hitting the ball hard consistently. But, I think the faith in my staff, my teammates always have my back, my teammates being there for me at low points, it was huge. It's huge to always have support from your guys that you show up with every day. So, I can't thank them enough, and it's been great.
How would you describe it when you say, you needed to do what got you to the big leagues? How would you describe that, your approach at the plate? What did you actually go back to?
I went to hitting with a toe tap, and it just wasn't comfortable to me, wasn't something that I was used to, so I kind of just said, screw it, like, go back to hitting with a leg kick, let's go back to doing what I did when I was young. I don't know really how to describe it, but just do what I did that got me to the big league. Just go up there and say, if he throws it over the plate, like, I got to put a good swing on it and find the barrel and hit hard.
It's interesting. I just took up golf like 3 years ago. And I had somebody tell me that recently. I had 18 different people tell me what to do on a drive. And then all of a sudden I just said, I'm going to do what I first started doing. And then confidence kicked in. And that's a weird thing. Like you just said it, you almost can't describe it, but when you're confident, something starts to happen and then you just go with it. Even in pro sports, Rowdy, it's confidence is something that you almost can't quantify, but you know when you have it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys can be confident every day they show up to the clubhouse, every day they show up to the field, but be able to translate it onto the field is a different thing. So, you know, I think success breeds confidence. Confidence breeds success. So, like, I think there's times where you ride the wave and you're just hoping that the wave never ends, you know, when you're playing good. And then there's times you're riding the wave and you're like, it just constantly keeps crashing down on you. So, you know, eventually you just got to go in there with no fear and just go in and screw it, man. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, we're going to build on it. You know, but if it's bad, we're going to flush it and turn to the next one and keep focusing on what's ahead of me. So, you know, it's just, it's stuff like that, that you step in the box and have that mindset. So, like I said, my teammates and my staff are awesome during those tough times. You know, I tried everything I can to be, you know, respectful for the jersey and respectful for the, you know, putting on a Pittsburgh Pirates uniform, but, you know, I was letting them down quite a bit. So, you know, it's just nice to be heading in the right direction right now. And, you know, we're playing some good ball, so that's always good too.
Rowdy Tellez joining us on the show here. I think your story the other day and your story in general with this little guy from Canada is really cool and very inspiring, Xander Brown. Tell us about how that started, Rowdy, and it seemed like you hit a home run for him the other day. It was just great.
Yeah, he came to Milwaukee when the Blue Jays were playing us in 2022. He had a sign and stuff, and so I went out there and hung out with him, signed the sign, and he asked for a homer for his birthday. I ended up hitting two that day. And then I don't remember if I did it last year. He came last year. I don't remember if I hit a home run or not, but he wanted me to hit three yesterday or 2 days ago. And I said, we got to start with one first. And, you know, we got one in there. And, you know, it's just really cool. It's special because, you know, it's, I don't think a lot of people understand. We're normal people too. You know, we interact with people, but you know, like, a lot of people look up to us, whether it's kids or adults or, you know, family members, there's always somebody that's looking up to you. So I think I put in perspective, like, yeah, I'm an athlete, but I'm also a normal person, and it means a lot for guys like Xander when people they look up to take time out of their day to go say hi and hang out. And, you know, I brought him in the dugout, and I've talked to him numerous times. I talked to him in Toronto when we were up there this year, and, you know, he just makes me laugh, you know. So it also brings some sort of peace when you're away from your family and you're on the road and you're playing and doing all this stuff. So, you know, it's always good to have those interactions.
Speaking of home runs and bunches, I've seen talk to baseball players, power hitters, who feel like the first step is, you know, you start getting the ball in play, the average gets up, and then the home runs start to come. Has that been your experience in the big leagues, Rowdy? And do you feel like that's the next piece of this, is that more homers are coming?
You know, I don't know. I'm, again, just focusing on one pitch and every at-bat, and you know, when that pitch happens, focusing on the next one or little things like that, you know. I'm just trying to help the team win, put together good at-bats, drive in runners, move runners over. You know, so for me, it's not about hitting the home runs and stuff. I just want to be a positive impact on the team on and off the field. But I can't lie to you and say it wouldn't be nice to hit some more home runs.
What's this season been like, Rowdy? It's had so many ups and downs. The booing, you endured that for a while. Those seem to have turned to cheers. But what was it like to go through all of this? It's been kind of a tumultuous first half of a season here in Pittsburgh.
You know, like I said, we're playing some good baseball. You know, we're playing a good stretch right now, so we're going to try and come in here into Atlanta and take one game at a time. But for me personally, it's part of it. You know, it happened. I didn't play well. I was struggling in the plate, and it was warranted. And like I said, I tried everything I could to be the better player. You know, things weren't really working for me and going my way until as of late. So, you know, I just, my job to go out and show up every day, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, whether it's good or bad. You know, I still have to put on the uniform and go, and I wish I could have brought more. You know, I wish I could have been better for the fan base earlier, but, you know, it's part of the game, and it happens, and that's something I had to deal with. But, like I said, I've said multiple times, it was emotional, not in a, like, teary way, but just, like, a big sigh of relief hitting the home run and hearing the cheers and, you know, finally being, you know, bringing some respect to the P that I wear every day. So it was cool to have that, you know, and it does mean a lot to a player when things like that happen. So I didn't take it for granted, and it was really special and something that I kind of sat there and was like, you know what, like, that was a good moment. That was something that was special to me as a player. So, you know, I wish I could have been better earlier, but I'm doing my best I can now and just trying to take it day by day.
Were you surprised, Rowdy, at how the whole Bednar thing was interpreted by people? It seemed like your intent was simply to defend a teammate, but maybe the words you used came off in a way that people around here took offense to. How did that whole thing settle with you, and were you surprised at how it all went down and was interpreted?
Again, you know, it was just I've always been a player that has had, you know, like, I want to be there for my teammates, and you know, I think that I didn't handle that properly, and you know, that was my fault. So, you know, I just hope that they understand that there was no animosity towards it, and I was just, you know, trying to keep my teammate, you know, his hopes high, keep his positive vibes up. You know, everybody, they did the same for me when I was struggling. You know, they had my back in the clubhouse, you know, and you know, stuff like that. They kept my hopes high, so I was. It's the same thing. You know, we all go through this grind of a long season, and we're all going to have ups and we're all going to have downs. So, you know, it's a brotherhood. You know, all the cliche stuff of it's a brotherhood and everybody has each other's back. So, you know, that moment passed, and I learned from that moment. So, you know, I just it happened, and I had to learn from it.
Rowdy Tellez on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. He's absolutely scorching here, one of the hottest hitters in the National League in June. Rowdy, outside the room, even with ownership, if you heard Bob Nutting talk the other day, it feels like it's a playoff or bust mentality. Is that the way it feels like in the clubhouse, that you know, just that, playoffs or bust for you guys?
Well, every time you show up to spring training, you know, everybody has the common goal of the World Series. So I would say, yeah, like, we got to make it to the playoffs first before we win the World Series. But I think being with some of the veterans and having a younger side of the team, you know, a lot of us that have played in the playoffs and been there have also said, like, there's nothing better than getting into the playoffs. You know, it's kind of like that, kind of get addicted to it. You always want to come back. So, but with that being said, you got to take it day by day. You can't make it to the playoffs at game 82 or 81 or whatever we're at. You know, so, like, we got to just take it day by day, win the battle every day. And you know, when you look up at the end of the year, you know, hopefully we're in there in the mix of playing some playoff ball, because, you know, that's a special time. And I know the fan base wants that. I know the fan base deserves it, and we're going to do everything we can to bring that to them.
And it feels like if you guys can find a way there, the top of your rotation, the guys you have there, it's a different breed playoff baseball, right? If you have those horses, it feels like you guys can make a lot of noise once you get there.
Yeah, and we do. We have a really good rotation. You know, obviously with the young guns, you know, Mitch is having an incredible year again. Bailey's been throwing well. You know, we're having Martin come back. Louie's been awesome. So the whole bullpen's been helping us out. So I think, you know, you do have a really good advantage when you do have a healthy staff and a healthy whole rotation. So, you know, if we can do that, we should be in a good spot. But, you know, it takes 26 guys to get there. And, you know, we all need to be pulling on the same side of the rope to get there. And hopefully we can do that.
What do you make of Skeen so far, Rowdy? You've been around for a little while. People, it feels like he's way older than he is. What do you make of him personality-wise and stuff-wise so far?
I've always said, when people have asked me about Paul, that it's kind of like the intangibles.
you watch him walk in the clubhouse on a start day or just in any day in general. He knows what he's doing. He has routine. He's comfortable. He's confident. He comes in and you hear those things as a fan and you kind of wonder what it does, like what all that entitles. But he's a pro and it's pretty cool to watch with a guy that is that young, come in and understand what his role is going to be and know how to handle it. Jones is the same way. Jones is another professional. So I think that really shows that these guys have asked the right questions, learned from the right people, and have built those relationships with other teammates and other players and other staff that have allowed them to excel at a young age.
Couple more questions here for Rowdy Tellez, Pirates first baseman. I want to talk about defense for a minute, Rowdy. And as the season's gone on, just observing you, it feels like you're a really sort of calm, soft-handed defender that if I were a fellow infielder, I would have confidence in you over at first. How much pride do you take in your defense? It feels like the game goes nice and slow for you defensively. You have a very calm demeanor about you.
I try and slow the game down as much as I can on defense. When I first signed out of high school, I was really bad defensively, and I worked my tail off to be better. And I still make mistakes. I still struggle. I still make some bad reads. But I'm trying my best every day to be out there and be calm. But, I take a big pride in being around the bag, having my infielders be confident no matter what they can do, no matter how they want to throw the ball, I can keep it in front of me and pick it. I always tell guys I can't jump very well. That's where I'd be playing basketball. So if you throw it down low, I got a good chance of picking it and making the play. But, when you have an infield like ours, it's really good. You got a Gold Glover at third. You got O'Neill with arguably the best arm in baseball at short, and Tree and Gonzo, really good defenders also. When they throw the ball in your chest, it's easy, and that's what they do. So we just have a really good infield, and that makes it easier for me too.
Well, Rowdy, I appreciate you taking the time. It feels like this has been a bit of a wild ride so far, but it feels like you've really handled everything with grace and with a team-first attitude, and it's turning around. So thanks again, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here.
Absolutely. Rowdy Tellez, Pirates first baseman. It's been a pretty good story, Limits, yes? Oh, he's saying goodbye to Rowdy there. And they're facing Charlie Morton tonight. That feels like, we talked about Pickett going in the other direction here. It feels like a little bit of a transformation, not only with Rowdy at the plate, but with how people are perceiving him, yes?
The more and more I hear Rowdy Tellez talk, the more I like him. And I didn't think that was going to happen. But, you can just tell in the way that he acknowledged the David Bednar situation as well. He was just trying to help a teammate, didn't realize that that's the way it was going to be interpreted. He feels bad about it. Like, accountability's there. Trust is there with his teammates. I like what he had to say the whole interview, really.
Here's what it feels like he gets is that it's pro sports, it's fans, it's emotional. If you're playing well, they don't give a crap what you do.
Right.
If you're not playing well, everything you say and do is going to get scrutinized and criticized. That's just the way it is in pro sports.
Well, and I think
I think
he realized that when he, was booed heavily for weeks, especially in that game that he ended up hitting the home run against Minnesota, where it turned from boos to cheers to chants to big time cheers.
Yeah.
And it's turned the season around.
Yeah. And he said that was emotional for him, not in a teary way, but just cool. Listen, if Rowdy Tellez came in here and started pounding home runs from the beginning and had like 15 after 2 months and the Bednar thing happened at the end of May and he said the exact same things he said, he would have been hailed as a folk hero for saying them,
yeah,
right?
He would have. There would have been a completely different interpretation of it.
All right. That was fun. I enjoyed talking to him. And I did mean what I said about him as a defender. It's been very interesting to watch. He's very calm and sort of smart in the way that he defends. And I would think that would have a calming influence on those around him. You need that kind of defense at first base. I think sometimes it's taken for granted, but we've seen here what happens when you don't have that, which is why people want to put, Henry Davis at first base. Okay, I guess, but you better be at least a decent defender. And a lot of the plays that are made over there, like he just talked about low throws that you dig and pick and all that, from Little League on up, if you don't have a defender at first base who makes it look pretty routine, a lot of the difficult plays and picks around there, you're going to really notice it. And you noticed it when Josh Bell was over there, right?
You noticed it when Pedro Alvarez was over there.
And when some other guys have gone over to first base, the things that you take for granted all of a sudden become a problem. They're not that way with Rowdy. Like, he's made some mistakes, I get it. But for the most part, I think he has a really, really good demeanor and style around the bag. I really believe that.
And when you think about Josh Bell and you wonder, oh, well, how bad was his defense when he was in Pittsburgh? The Pirates intentionally, on multiple different occasions, and Josh Bell gunned him out, I think, two out of three times or one out of two, on ground balls to first, they broke for the plate right away on contact from third, testing out his arm because they didn't think he could make an accurate throw to the plate. And a couple times he did, but one time he sailed it over the catcher's head.
Exactly.
That's the importance of it.